Thank you so much, ladies. What a blessing to hear your voices in worship. All right, with that, we pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, many moons ago, I did a mission trip with my church down to Costa Rica. What a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. But the second night we were in Costa Rica, the first night on site where we were staying at a church, and the storm came. And let me tell you, all night long, that rain beat upon that church. No windows in that church, nothing to guard from the water in that church, and we had no idea what we were going to be facing. It was something more than any of us had ever experienced. Now, some of you might be a little more used to that kind of rain in the Philippines, but us in Southern California are not used to torrential rains. Well, we woke up the next morning and the sun had come out, but then we were able to see what the rain had done. And the houses around the church were flooded, mud up to here, literally. And right outside the church on the main road that goes down the coast of Costa Rica, a large drainage pipe had collapsed in. And what did it leave but all of these huge trucks that were transporting goods and materials from the north side of Costa Rica to the south side were stuck. Literally stuck. For days, they were stuck waiting for the government to figure out another way around and how to move all these trucks. I have a picture somewhere in my scrapbooks of that trip that shows these trucks, and it shows these truck drivers with hammocks hung under their trucks where they sat and slept during the day out of the sun under the truck. You know, for us as a work team, it was a minute of our lives having that kind of experience, but we were safe inside that church. It didn't flood, it didn't get mud, and there was not going to be any lasting impact to us. It became just another story to tell and memories to share of what we had gone through. But for the people in that village, for the people who were living in those homes that got flooded and mudded, for those truck drivers stuck for days and whatever impact that had on their financial well-being and care for the families, that storm was so much bigger than we could ever imagine. Now, here was Jesus in that kind of storm. Jesus, who was constantly on the move. One minute he's preaching, and the next minute he says, "All right, we're out of here." No explanation, no reason why, just at nighttime when it's the worst time to get in a boat and move across the Sea of Galilee, he says it's time to move. So he and the disciples jump in boats. Notice it was plural boats here, not just one. But they jump in the boats and they start to move across the Sea of Galilee, the easiest way to get from one town to the other. Now remember, Jesus was with a lot of fishermen. These were people who spent a living on that sea, on that lake. And so when that storm comes up and they fear for their lives, these who had grown up on that lake, to fear for their lives tells us just how high the magnitude of this storm was. The Greek word that we translate into great storm in Greek is mega. It was a mega storm. Now, when I think of a mega storm, I think of Hurricane Katrina. And I think about the impact and what it did and just how scary for the people of Louisiana and Texas and Mississippi that it was. Here the winds and the rains are coming down upon the boat, and the disciples get afraid. And the majority of us, we know this story, right? What happens when the storm scares everybody else? Jesus is sleeping, right? The rocking of the boat, the rain coming down, the wind doesn't deter him from his needed beauty sleep, right? That's what I'm going to call it. I think Jesus needed his beauty sleep. And they get afraid, and they come to him questioning how he could sleep and not care about their imminent demise that was about to happen. What do we see in these disciples? But we see that in their questioning that they have lost their hope in Jesus. Now let's remember, this is Mark 4. This is early in their journeys. Maybe they just hadn't seen enough of Jesus yet. But we know storms. And sometimes it's not literal rain coming down. Sometimes the storms is remembering things that have happened that we have endured. Yesterday was Juneteenth, our newest holiday, just approved on June 17th, a day that celebrates the official end of slavery in the United States. And we celebrate that freedom, but as we celebrate that freedom, we must remember the storm called slavery that led up to it. That horrible, terrible time in our history that never should have happened. Today, we also recognize that June 12th was Filipino Independence Day. And what a great day to celebrate and to dress up and to sing and to have parties. But it's remembering, why do we have Filipino Independence Day? Because of the colonization of the Philippines by Spain and all that Spain inflicted upon the beautiful people of the Philippines. On July 4th, we remember what it was like to be a colony of England and the difficulty of that. In September, we remember the storm of 9/11. In December, we remember the storm called Pearl Harbor. We think about such storms as the Oklahoma City bombing, Hurricane Katrina, George Floyd, Columbine. You see, storms come in all shapes and sizes. They happen to us as individuals, as community, and as a world. Whether or not storms will come in our life is not the question, but the question becomes, how do we handle these storms when they seem to come out of nowhere and seem like they might be our despise? Well, let's note that when Jesus finally does wake up and realizes what's happening and hears the lamenting voice of his disciples, as we talked about lament and crying out to God last week, we see that Jesus wakes up and doesn't slowly calm the storm with superpowers. But what does Jesus do? Jesus immediately overpowers the storm and brings a great, or again using the word mega, a mega calm and a still silence. Now here we are. The fears and the anxieties building and taking us over. What are we gonna do about it? The other night, I was watching the movie The Incredible Hulk. It's funny that Miss Becky would mention Spider-Man, because Hulk was in mine without knowing what she was gonna be doing. But in the movie The Incredible Hulk, Hulk is a human being, a man, but because of this gamma ray force that came upon him, exposure, as I lose my words there, if he gets too angry, if his heart rate gets too high, he turns into the Incredible Hulk. In the movie The Incredible Hulk, he wears a watch on his wrist that measures his heart rate. And if it starts rising, it starts beeping at him, getting faster and faster as his heart rate gets higher and higher. And he hears that beeping and he sees that watch, and what he knows he needs to do is to calm himself down. And he has somebody that's guiding him of how he can work to control his breathing, to try to slow that heart rate down, to try to calm himself, to try to allow peace instead of fear to come so that he can stay in control and stay Bruce Banner instead of turning into the uncontrolled green beast, the Incredible Hulk. Now, maybe we don't actually turn into oversized green monsters. But we know that when fear and anxiety and stress and heart rates rise, that sometimes we become something other than ourselves. My apologies to anybody who's been on the receiving end of my fear and anxiety and rising blood pressure. But how do we handle it? And maybe to go back to John Wesley. What a great week to think about John Wesley, the founder of our denomination. But in January of 1736, John Wesley was moving from England to Georgia to try to come and preach to the colonies and bring people to Christ. And traveling on that ship, he was traveling with a group of Moravians from Germany. And this is what John Wesley wrote in his journal during that trip. At 7, I went to the Germans. I had long before observed the great seriousness of their behavior, of their humility. They had given a continual proof by performing those servile offices for the other passengers, which none of the English would undertake, for which they desired and would receive no pay, saying it was good for their proud hearts, and their loving Savior had done more for them, and every day had given them occasion of showing a meekness which no injury could move. If they were pushed, struck, or thrown down, they rose again and went away, but no complaint was found in their mouth. There was now an opportunity of trying whether they were delivered from the spirit of fear as well as from that of pride, anger, and revenge. In the midst of the psalm wherewith their service began, the sea broke over, split the mainsail in pieces, covered the ship, and poured in between the decks as if the great deep had already swallowed us up. A terrible screaming began among the English. The Germans calmly sang on. I asked one of them afterwards, "Was you not afraid?" He answered, "I thank God, no." I asked, "But were not your women and children afraid?" He replied mildly, "No, our women and children are not afraid to die." For them, I went to their crying, trembling neighbors and pointed out to them the difference in the hour of trial between him that feareth God and him that feareth him not. At 12, the wind fell. This was the most glorious day which I have hereto seen. John Wesley speaks about being radically changed by this experience, by being shown by the Moravians when fear and anxiety and even literal storms rise up around us, of how our faith can give us great calm and peace to be able to endure. You see, during the storm, during those times that try us, we are able to discover the depth of our capabilities to overcome fear through faith. When we are tested, we can discover our true strength. When we are tested, we can discover our true community that supports us and holds us up. In the storm, we can see who we really are. And I pray that we can see that we are God's and that God has us. The great storms will come. Great fear will try to overcome us. But God is a God of calmness and peace, gifting us a great calm, and afterwards, like the disciples, a great awe that can come in all circumstances and situations. I leave us this as our prayer from the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, and Jesus promises this: "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." Amen.